The scripture reading this evening is from Mark 15th chapter, verses 25 through 39. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see him and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near him heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to take him," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
All of us have lost a loved one. We don't like to think of how they died. We remember the good things about their lives. You remember the person as they were. But this is the one day of the year when we particularly focus on not just that Jesus, the Son of God, died, but how he died and why he died. Why did Christ have to suffer? That's my question tonight. We all know, I hope, why he had to die. The wages of sin, our sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died our death. He paid our price so we can be forgiven and free. But why did he suffer? Why did he have to suffer? We think of humane ways that people and nations have executed people, like just a bullet to the head or a hanging or an electric chair or an injection. But this form of execution was absolutely horrific. The women of Jerusalem used to put together some wine and mixed with myrrh, and they offered it to those who were crucified to dull the pain and to give them a bit of relief, to alleviate the suffering while they were on the cross. And at the beginning, when Jesus was just to be crucified, before they actually nailed him and put him up, they offered him wine and vinegar, and Jesus refused to take it. That is an amazing insight into Christ. He did not want to avoid the full force of the punishment for sin when he took our place and died on the cross. People ask, why does God allow suffering? And I ask the question, well, why did God allow the suffering of his perfect, beautiful, eternal Son? Because death and suffering come from sin. And Jesus is the sin bearer. The Bible says that God did not spare his only Son. He didn't hold back on the punishment that his Son would receive in our place. But the implication is that the full force of God's judgment and God's wrath against sin and evil was heaped on Jesus. It's true that in answering the question, why did Christ have to suffer? It's true that by suffering he would fulfill Old Testament prophecy. And just one of those prophecies you'll see on the screen is in Psalm 22, where it predicts that he, speaking as if it was Messiah himself saying these words, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like pottery and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. The intense suffering of Jesus in there and Isaiah 53 and other passages that show that this was something prophesied, predicted in the Old Testament hundreds of years before Christ was born, let alone lived and then died. Why did Christ have to suffer? And it's also true that by suffering he would be an example and an encouragement to believers, because ever since the beginning of the church, and especially in the first century or two, there was intense suffering by Christians. Those who followed Christ were hounded, were crucified themselves as well. Peter was crucified upside down and were persecuted, thrown to wild animals, pierced with swords, were stoned, and other forms of terrible suffering that they endured. And to a church that was in the midst of that suffering, Peter writes, inspired by God's Spirit, saying, if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels, thousands of angels, and they would have just decimated the whole bunch of them. But he didn't. When he suffered, it says, he made no threats. Christ had to suffer the punishment we deserve. That is the point of Christ's suffering. You see, the root cause of suffering and death, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, they were perfect, they were innocent. But when they turned from God and rebelled and disobeyed him, they brought with that God's judgment, because that was sin that led to, as we know in the world today, sin has corrupted the human race, and that's why we have so much evil and so much suffering in the world today. And God said in Romans 8 that all creation is groaning, waiting to be liberated from the suffering and from the pain that we all endure in the human race. Suffering and death come from sin. Spiritual suffering and death, separation from God and the emptiness that is left inside us, spiritual. Then there's physical suffering and death. And then there's eternal suffering and death, which the Bible calls hell. Eternally suffering, and that's exactly what the Bible says. It says that the evidence of the righteous judgment of God is that indeed God will repay with affliction those who have afflicted you, and goes on to say they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separation from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. Just one verse, and there's many others. Jesus spoke more of hell than anyone else in the Bible. It's real, eternal separation from God. If you see suffering and death in the world today as a result of mankind's sin, it's not too much to extend that into an eternity of separation from God and suffering, which God says is the result of sin. The only way is to come out of sin, be freed from sin, be forgiven and made right with God, that you may live with God. God and sin don't sit together, don't live together. God is not going to allow sin into heaven. God is not going to allow heaven to be corrupted by evil. And so the only way to live with God is to be forgiven and transformed and made right with God. That's why Christ came. The crucifixion was torture. Jesus not only suffered, he endured the worst that one could suffer. It was an execution that and torture joined in one long, drawn-out event. Sometimes people, at the minimum, would last 2 days on the cross and up to about 7 days on the cross. They would hang there. The nails and in the hands and feet were all that kept them there on the cross. And the only way, after a long time on the cross, you couldn't breathe, so you had to push yourself up with an excruciating pain. And by the way, the word excruciating includes the word cross in there. It comes from the same root as the word cross, excruciating pain. As you lift your body up to try and breathe, and finally people would be so weak and unable to push themselves up, they'd just asphyxiate and die of lack of breath. They were stripped naked, not like the pictures show with the loincloth. They were put to shame on the cross, and the painful death was designed to make people really suffer. That was the whole point of the cross, suffering. Jesus hung there from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, and then he gave up his spirit. He passed from this life and returned in 3 days in the resurrection, as we'll hear on Sunday. Friedrich Nietzsche, the famous philosopher, dismissed the whole concept of the Son of God suffering with these words, saying, "God on a cross? Preposterous." But do you know what? That was God on the cross. The Son of God became one of us in order that he might take our punishment. As the Son of God in his spirit being form before he became human, he could never die for us. He could never suffer for us. He could never take our place. The only way for him to take the punishment for our sin was to become one of us, to have a physical body, to have blood in his veins, and to have nerves that feel the pain and pass that to the brain, and all that's part and parcel of being a true human. And that human Son of God hung on that cross and died for you and I. Jesus didn't just die, he suffered and died for you and I. And when he faced knowing that, he had promised his disciples, he's warned his disciples that he would he would suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders, and then he said he would die, but on the third day he would rise again. He told them that he knew that that was going to come. And then when it happened, when he was in the garden, in anticipation of the awful suffering he knew he had to face, he said to his father, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." And he set his face, the Bible says, as a flint. He would not divert from the cross, where he knew in love he would take your place and mine. Your suffering, your death, and mine. He endured the hell we deserve so we could enjoy the heaven he has prepared. Let's sing our final praise hymn together. The power of the cross.